If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Right in today's episode, we answered listeners' questions, but this was after an intro portion. Today was 56 minutes long. That's where we talk about fitness, our lives, family life, studies, and much more. By the way, you can check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around your favorite parts. Also, to ask us a question that we might pick from to answer an episode like this one, go to Instagram at Mind Pump Media. Now, this episode is brought to you by the Dr. Deloney Show. This podcast is one of the best you'll find anywhere about personal growth. He answers questions, very challenging questions from callers. He's a good friend of ours. This man is incredible. He's really added value to our lives and value to a lot of our listeners' lives. Go check it out. Check out this podcast. It's one of the ones that we recommend highly. It's johndeloney.com/mindpump. So it's johndeloney.com/mindpump. This episode is also brought to you by Butcher Box. They deliver grass-fed meats, heritage pork, wild-caught fish, and incredible chicken to your door. By the way, it's great prices, healthy meats. And if you go through our link, butcherbox.com/mindpump, you'll get $20 off your first order. Also, this month's program sale, Maps Anywhere and Maps Hit, both 50% off. You can find them both at mapsfitnessproducts.com, but you have to use the code April50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. All right, look, what you read, what you see, what you hear becomes a part of your reality. In other words, what you're exposed to, your brain actually perceives as the world. This means you'll compare yourselves to the people that you see, read, and hear. This means that you'll view the world through the lens of things like social media. All right, what do you do about this? Manage your algorithms. This is extremely important. If you just go through them mindlessly, then they'll win. They'll get your attention. You'll look at things that are scary. You'll compare yourself to people that'll make you feel terrible about yourself. You'll waste your time. Consciously manage your algorithms so that you get information that benefits you, things that help you grow, things that help you become more self-aware, a better person. You have to do this consciously. If you don't, it's like being exposed to a bunch of hyper-processed, palatable food. You're just going to eat it all. You're not going to be able to control yourself.
This sounds like the advice that you were giving to your niece and nephew just recently.
Totally.
This is coming from?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It's. I just read this article about the mental health of young women. And young men and boys are going through the same thing, something similar. But young women are really getting hit hard with mental health issues, including suicide attempts, like exploding ever since smartphones.
In particular with women.
Young girls.
Because that's typically men make up a majority of like suicides. I forgot what the statistic was on it, but it's really high in, I think, under age of 40.
Well, typically, statistically, women will attempt suicides but more often, but men will actually do the suicide, right? So if a man attempts it, he's more likely to actually commit suicide.
There's a really dark joke there, but I'm not
going to do it. I'm
not going to do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
I mean, I'm allowed to do that, aren't I? I feel like I get like a little bit of latitude there.
I know you were going with that.
So I was waiting for Justin. He just didn't have the balls to do that one right there.
Ooh, terrible.
I'm not going to say it.
You took all the wind out of it.
I'm not going to say it.
But nonetheless, the numbers are just, they're just going up. And we're seeing these crazy spikes in suicide. And then, you know, other stuff like anxiety and depression, which we're seeing across the board. And, you know, when you look at your algorithms, because the social media apps, they don't just, of course, they take into account what you click on. They take into account what you thumb up or like or love or what you comment on. But they also take into account what you hover over. So if you're going through your algorithm and something catches your eye and you kind of hover over it a little longer,
it already knows.
It knows all this stuff. Yeah. And then it modifies itself to feed you more of what you want, not necessarily what you need, right? So again, it's imagine being exposed to every food imaginable in front of you and then trying to control yourself constantly. It'd be very difficult. What you would do and how we coach people is we say, don't have those foods in your house. It's one of the best things you can do, right? Because expecting yourself to just control yourself constantly is it's often a losing battle. So with these algorithms, and I've done this, I've changed my algorithms, and sometimes I'll notice that they'll start to veer towards alarmist stuff. This is the stuff that'll get my attention, right? Like politics, alarmist stuff, and then I got to consciously move it in a better direction. And I don't click on things. It's because I hover over them. And so
it's crazy how easy that just penetrates its way into whatever you're viewing. And it's like, because it's a bit alarming. You can't help but see, like, well, my curiosity kind of takes over sometimes. And then that will immediately start to repeat. And you'll see more videos and more things getting kind of bombarding your feed. And to the point where now, like, marketing is on a whole nother level we've never seen before.
The sophistication of it is
insane.
Is unbelievable.
It's crazy. And so if this is for adults too, by the way, and I'm speaking as a grown man, so I can't even imagine if I was a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
But what your brain doesn't parse it out and say, oh, this is just social media. And then when I'm out in the real world, that's the real world. And oh, this news from across the world that I have no impact over, I can't do anything with, that is way over there. So I'm not going to consider that as important as like what happened in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The brain doesn't work that way. The brain looks at, you know, if you're a girl and you're scrolling through and you're seeing all these, for example, perfect bodies, your brain perceives that as that's what you're surrounded by. That's the world. Like everybody mm-hmm. around me looks like that. And so you start to place yourself lower and lower. And you also start to focus more on what you're viewing more of. So now you start to become more self-aware of how you look and how imperfect you are, right? That's just one thing, but this is true for all of it. So you have to be very conscious of these or turn them off.
Right.
Like that's the other side.
You have to be super intentional because the minute you just let your subconscious sort of viewing just normal patterns, human behavior, like I'm drawn to this because whatever, like it's exciting or it's like alarming or, it's something that like I desire that kind of body or whatever it is. Like it's, you just get pulled into it and it has such like a powerful engine behind it now that it really is like, it'll just plague the rest of your day just because, you're using that format without that kind of restriction.
Yeah. This conversation is so interesting to me because, you know, people try and like to counter like kind of the alarmist, like when you get all crazy about this stuff, like, oh my God. I mean, oh, well, you know, when newspapers came out and everybody was on their newspaper in the train, people used to not talk to each other. And we thought that was going to ruin our society. And then the radio came and then television. And then it's like, so we always tend to have this thing, but there's something really unique about this with the, like to your point of you, if you are on social media and we see how much people are on it, like, I don't know if people were watching enough television to be able to even come close to rivaling.
Nor did television adjust itself every second.
Right.
Yes. Nor did you have unlimited bandwidth and access to anything and everything.
It was pre-planned and scheduled, so it was like
10 channels.
And nor do I think that a lot of people perceived the celebrities on TV as their world or their reality, where in social media you start to perceive that as your world and your reality. These are my friends. These are the people I follow. They follow me. This is kind of my reality, even though it's a fake reality. So the training of the brain or conditioning of the brain to believe this is a reality is far more dangerous and interesting to me than what we've ever seen in the past. Because none of those other mediums did it like this.
No, they didn't even come close. It's like the processed food revolution, right? Processed food really didn't, it wasn't an issue until they got so smart with it and so available that we just don't have the skills to navigate it, right? Like they've done studies on this. You're exposed to these foods. If you eat them, they make you overeat. It's almost like the best strategy is to avoid them, not to eat them and go everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't work for most people. You need to have some self-awareness and be like, I think I should probably just completely avoid this. I mean, the stat that I'm looking at, by the way, is a great article we'll post in the show notes that counters all of the counters to this kind of conversation. So, but here's a stat that I saw that was just
Right, because you'll have like the thank you for smoking people that will like tell you, well, you can adjust your own.
We had him on the show.
Yeah.
We had one
which was a frustrating conversation.
Yeah, one of the most prevalent guys in the space that has been arguing for it. What was his near IL or near?
Yeah.
NIR.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. NIR. A-Y-A-L.
Yeah, and he did it. Like I mean, he did a phenomenal job of making me kind of go like...
Putting the blame and the, you know, back on the individual.
Right.
Is, of know, course, but look, here's
it's easy to make that argument.
Here's a statistic. From 2007 to 2008, the increase in U.S. hospitalizations for intentional self-harm. So they actually went to the hospital because they hurt themselves. For girls ages 10 to 14. You know how much it went up? Hmm. From 2007 to 8.
Just 1 year.
From 2007 and 8 to now.
Okay, to now. Okay. You sound like you were saying 2007.
518%. 518%. Okay, what happened right around that time, right? The mass iPhone. Use of, yeah, iPhone. Of these smartphones.
Yeah.
And this article, it overcomes a lot of the, you know, the like they'll say, oh, well, the rise in self-harm rates is an artifact of reduced stigma. This article completely goes through and breaks that down. The rise in self-harm rates is mostly a result of changes in reporting. No, this article breaks that down. And that there is no rise in international teen girls' suicide rate. Not true. So what we're seeing is just, this is unprecedented. But I know as an adult myself, how I feel when I intentionally turn it off.
Oh, yeah.
Versus when I go on it. And I'm way more self-aware than I would say the typical teenage kid who just doesn't have, they're not, developmentally not, they don't
have those boundaries established.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
There's also this interesting predicament that we're in also that it happens to be, which is different than TV and radio and all these other things that we use purely for entertainment. There's this, you know, dual use of it being used for a business. So there's this easy justification process of, well, I need it to scale my business, or I one day want to build a business. And right. So I need to build a brand. And so that's really challenging. And it's already a tempting thing to use or get addicted to. Then you add in the fact of, well, I mean, either one, you already have a business or you have a dream to build a business and everybody's made the case for how powerful and useful it is for building a business. So it's a really interesting thing that we're going through right now. And the part that I'm most concerned about is that these stats that you're talking about, you know, how much more worse does it have to get before we can? Because I do believe in us as humans, as a species. I think that we are pretty smart, and like I know we do some dumb things, but we tend to learn from when millions of people do dumb things. We go, hey, that's not a good idea. But we tend to wait until we see enough of the lemmings fall off the cliff to go like, oh, we probably need to.
Or it gets repackaged and we have to relearn it.
Yeah, I wonder if like because of what they're doing in Florida, if we'll finally get like maybe some statistics in the opposition.
How much it helped or not.
Right, like it seeing healthy individuals and 100%. Kids grow up.
I mean, I think that's how it begins, Justin. I think that one state or one leader or one person, one outlier puts their foot down first and says, hey, we're not going to do it this way, or we're going to do it a different way because of these reasons. And then you see the potential
pit them against each other.
Right. Then you see the positive things that happen from that. And then other people will follow suit, I think, after
that. Well, interesting you say that, right? Because there's another article that I just read that the title of it, this is from the New Yorker, said that the dumb phone boom is real. And apparently this is a burgeoning cottage industry. It's still small. That caters to beleaguered smartphone users desperate to escape their screens. So it's like a lot of people in their 20s who are purposefully buying dumb phones. They're purposely buying phones that are not smartphones.
I've brought that up before. It's becoming a popular thing for kids to get flip phones and stuff. Now we had recently our friend John Deloney in here, and he said something I thought was interesting. I was curious if you guys practice something similar. I definitely, after hearing him going, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna implement that as Max gets older, where when kids come over to his house, his wife has a basket and it's like
they take the phone.
All your phones go.
I thought of that. Yeah, that's really good.
I think that's such a cool, like, just, and that just becomes a standard at your house. Everybody knows when you come over to the Schaefer house, you don't have, you're not on your phone at all. And so, and if you need to use it to call your mom,
pick you up, back to the basket.
Yeah, whatever. But there's a central place that's this is where
I like that.
I love that. I do. And I love that being just like it's the standard at your house. And
dude, speaking of John and algorithms, he's in my algorithm all the time now because I've been watching some of his clips. Yeah. Bro, how often
you're giving him so many hearts?
How many times you guys have you listened to a show? Because
I listen to a lot of his clips.
Quite a few, yeah.
He has a lot of really good sound bites of like where he's...
Oh my God, the questions he gets are
insane.
Bro.
Insane.
Like, should They're I have my dude. Husband?
Yes.
Or is this a red flag? Or... These are like, oh my gosh, they're asking crazy questions. And he's always so good and so calm when he answers them.
He's probably, which explains why he's exploded and now on the top. Like, I think he's ranked in the top five on the podcast ranking all the time.
Dude, for
now.
Personal growth and like becoming a better person and just navigating difficult topics, like his show is...
He's
one of the best.
Well, because he used to be like a crisis.
Yes.
Like, he was there to take calls for people that were like suicidal, right? So it's like, and you get that on his show, but like from all different angles of like, people struggling with like really crazy stuff.
I would say he's the most consistent person that that I've turned all my family members onto that they listen to. So I always they'll send me sometimes the clips and I'm like, oh, you guys are all, ever since you guys had him on the show, I've been following all his content. I'd say most of my family members follow him consistently out of everybody we've probably introduced to them. So
he does a really good job. And like I said, he stays so calm. Like I'll hear the person ask the question. And I'm like, I would freeze, dude. How do you answer that?
Like,
obviously he's an expert, right?
It's heavy. Yeah. Exactly.
I also love too. So I think why we all hit it off as friends that we all share this, extremely authentic, his radical honesty. Like, he does not speak to his guest or people as like he's on this pedestal of like this doctor who's telling you how to do everything. He shares all of his challenges and struggles and admittedly talks about his insecurities. And I think that's just I think that there's not a lot of men in his position, right? Not only from how much like fame and attention he has, his degrees, like that are willing to be like, man, I'm a big fuck up myself trying to figure this out. Like,
you can tell he's worked with real people for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's how you connect.
He's not talking at people.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of challenges and struggles, I got snipped.
How was it?
Where's your little donut pillow?
Man? I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Yeah. I noticed your voice is a little different, though.
That's not. It got lower.
Yeah. No, it didn't get deeper.
They had to use special tools. The guy did.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, this is not working. Can you get the diamond tips?
How was your weekend?
So
can't find it.
I'll tell you about it because you'll probably do it at some point.
Right? I know. I can't.
Are you going to do it?
Yes.
It's actually not a big deal, dude. First off, I complained to my wife and she quickly put me in my place because women do this shit all the time. Yeah, I get it. Okay, ladies.
And their procedure is a lot more invasive.
Yes, but guys don't do this. Yeah. So she, after I'm done, she called me. She's like, so how was it?
It's still our balls.
Yeah. And I'm like, it was awkward. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you go in there and, you go in and there's a nurse there. So it's this, it's this woman and, she's got a mask on. I can't even see what she looks like. And she's like, okay, so take everything off, put this apron thing on, lay back on the bed, and then I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna check things out or whatever. So I'm like, okay. So I do all
dig
that
in there.
And I lay, and I'm sitting on the thing with my feet out here like this, whatever. And she goes in and she's like, okay, I'm gonna wash it. I'm gonna wash you and I'm gonna put this antibacterial
whatever. What are you gonna wash?
Bro, hey, listen. Wow. Listen, it's that's the most exciting. Awkward thing ever. To have a random person manipulate your penis and wipe things and wash things and then she's like, did you shave the before? She's like, did you shave the area? I'm like, I did the best job I could. I don't know. I haven't put a razor to my balls.
It's been a long landing time since I trimmed down there.
No. Trimming's one thing. They want you to shave. Like, you got to get it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No little landing strip.
So gross. So she goes, she's like, there's some areas that I want to kind of, really get close or whatever. So then she gets a razor, bro. And she's like, shaving me. I'm like, oh my God, bro. I'm sitting there. It's the most awkward.
I'd be more like scared about that. Like, dude, her nicking me.
It's the most awkward thing ever.
Yeah, that might be more awkward than my sperm bank thing that I had to do.
I got to do that too.
And you got to do that?
I do.
Wow.
So she does that.
That's enough for me not to do
this. I'm going
to
do some good grooming before I go.
So she does that. And then the doctor comes in and then he's just having conversation with me the whole time. Hey, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I got a podcast. Oh, cool. Listen to it.
Why they're doing your balls and everything?
Yeah, it was. So they inject you with this. Yeah. They inject you with a local anesthesia. And what you feel is like a...
right-handed?
You feel like a poke. And then it kind of feels like your balls hurt a little bit. Like you just got... you know how you get like hit and the ball's real light? You know how your friend comes by and goes,
oh, like a delayed reaction?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you're like, oh, a little bit. But then they're numb. You don't feel a damn thing. And then they go in, they cut. And they put a drape, right? So you can't see anything. And I can, obviously, because I'm sure if you see someone cut your So they go in, they cut, you know, and you don't feel nothing. You just feel like a little pull in or whatever. And then they use a, they cauterize the end of them. So she, the nurse stuck this big, like thing on my leg. I'm like, why are you sticking that big thing on my leg? She's like, that's to ground the cauterize, the cautery machine, just so that you don't get shocked or whatever. I'm like, oh, you guys are going to electrocute my. All right. So then they go, and it takes like 30 minutes, bro. It's done. Then you put a big ass piece of gauze, pull your shit up, you go home, and it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, they told me, doctor's going to get mad now because he's like, I'm going to listen. He's like, don't pick anything up over 10 pounds. I'm like, really? 10 pounds? Like
I'd be walking out there with a cane, dude. Like, yeah.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
I would milk it too. Right?
Yeah. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I don't think it can mow the yard.
I was supposed to wait before, you know.
Need some ice cream.
He's like, you got to wait a week before you ejaculate. And I'm like, it's been like 5 days before this.
Well, so you got to wait a week to do that. And then in addition to that, how many times did I hear you say you had to get 30 or 40?
No, 15 to 20. So.
Oh, I thought it was way more than that.
No, me too. Still 15 or 20. Yeah. So
he's like, bro, 15 to 20 and 40 was like a big difference.
I said 30. I thought it was 30. Yeah. He said, you got to wait to ejaculate, which I didn't. I waited. It was a day or two and I couldn't handle it. Jessica and I. Yeah. So I'm good though. A little sore, but I think I'm all right. I think I'm all right. Yeah. At BPC, bro. BPC 157. I'm healing way faster.
Yeah, the Wolverine.
In the average person.
Yeah.
So you got to wait a week to do that. And then you need 15 to 20 or 14 to 20 ejaculations before, or 2 months, one or the other, before you're probably safe. But you still have to go in and they test your semen to see if you have sperm.
Oh, wow.
Just to be sure.
Yeah.
So now, the nurse gives me the cup, you know, and she's like, there's two ways to do this. So set up your appointment. She goes, either you do it at home.
Yeah, and you'd be there in 30 minutes.
And you have to be there with it.
Bro, imagine me at Morgan Hill.
Imagine hitting traffic. Like,
bro, all the way to San Jose. You know what I'm saying? I got Katrina holding it under her boob to keep it all warm and stuff like that. I'm trying to get this.
Or you get pulled over by a cop.
After I did it there, I was like, we'll figure this out from home, dude.
It's too awkward over there.
It's fucking way awkward.
You told me it was just a regular office?
No, I mean, it's a jerk off room. That's what it is. Wow. So it's worse. It's worse than a regular office. Yeah. I feel like a regular office, I could, I don't know, drum up some fantasy or something. Yeah. But like in there, all I could think is like, who's the dude that was right here before me? You know what I'm saying? What did he watch? And what is it like? It's just, and like all the girls are waiting out there and it's like everyone knows what you're doing. Like that
aren't
is.
Aren't you self conscious? Because the cup's clear.
Get some candles. Well,
then
you also got to aim it in a little cup. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not like something I practice.
And she told me, is this true?
I mean, seriously, you guys ever practice that? I don't practice that.
It's unpredictable.
I got good.
Where's it going?
Did she ask? Did she tell you this, that don't open the cup until right before?
Yeah, yeah.
How?
They have all these weird rules. Yeah, exactly.
Does that make sense? So you have a cup.
So keep it sealed. They don't want to contaminate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you got to like keep
air contaminants.
I guess. So now imagine you're trying to get ready. You're going. Oh, here we go. Then you go.
It couldn't be more awkward.
No, it's not like full of that, bro.
No,
not
it's
at not. All.
It's so awkward.
It's funny too because I called my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, and just have a conversation with her. Mm. And I was like, oh, she's like, how's your day? And I'm like, oh, I got my vasectomy today. She's like, oh, what? She's like, what do they do? So I'm like, oh, she doesn't know. So I'm like, they cut my testicles off. What? They cut them off?
No.
I'm like, yeah. I'm
but
like,
I saved him, honey.
I did. Yeah, I said that. I said, they let me save him. Then she knew I was before.
Yeah, just like the dog.
I'm like, make Christmas decorations.
And I'm like, honey, type in vasectomy and type on images so you can see what happens.
I made a necklace out of mine, didn't you?
Oh, gross. I thought that was a pearl necklace. All right. Oh, that went two ways. I didn't even mean that. We went far with this.
You got to stop him when he gets close.
I know. This conversation is going downhill.
Anyway, so I got some time before we're 100%, you know, safe or whatever.
But I mean, all in all, did you lift today? Or are you already back to lifting?
The doctor said not to lift for a week.
Yeah, I know what he said, but I asked
why did you lift?
Because I know you fucking probably could.
Listen,
the last conversation we had
was working through this.
This guy, so far, we were just talking about this like last week, like working through this, like, I'm trying to, you know.
Actually, I did something else. I was pretty good about that.
What did you do? Yeah,
so first off,
okay,
two things. First off, with experienced lifting, can you disengage part of your body while you're training one part of your body? really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bodybuilding skill.
Yeah, yeah.
All right then, bro.
Yeah.
So that's what I did today.
So you're like this, like just relax.
I just got to pump, dude. I just got to pump. I'm good. Everything's good down there. No legs. I'm going to do squats or anything like that. No, here's what I did. So I made this new, I'm going to say it on the show now because I think I'm going to do it. One of the things that I've communicated to listeners about, like, you know, creating a better relationship with exercise is to not weigh yourself and to not like view and study yourself in the mirror, right? Now, I don't weigh myself all the time, so that's not an issue. However, one thing I do when I work out is I always end up in my undershirt, my wife beater.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to work out and I'm just going to keep a t-shirt on or a long sleeve shirt and I'm not going to.
Bro, dude.
No more thunder vest.
Hey, no. It's going to be underneath because I like the hug from the shirt.
You should do the sweater move. That's why.
I'm not there yet. T-shirt. And then I'm thinking about that.
Because that was like a lot of the motivation. Like, it was funny because even, although it's a different mind game I was playing, but it really was to take myself out because I was messing with my own head of like, hey, I know what the plan is, but I see this. And then, so I would just cover all up.
So today I just worked out in a t-shirt and didn't get down to the white
now,
theater.
Well, it doesn't count because like you have issues going on. I was going to say, did it feel like a different workout, but you're already doing like a different workout because of.
Yeah. I noticed that I was less like looking at myself and studying how I looked and all that stuff. So it took some of that away, but I'm going to slowly move.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if you feel like you get less of a workout because of it too, because you're not getting all pumped up. You know what I'm saying?
No, I had a decent workout, but it was less.
Well, hard to gauge right now because of your.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait till you're like in your, you know, hitting
all
your
the way in.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to talking to you guys too. I've saved it for the podcast so we could literally just kind of have this open conversation and people could hear, I don't know, us like talk it out and figure it out because, you know, I'm like really challenged right now with the tirzepatide and the part that is most challenging. And I feel like even though I know
this, the low calories.
Yeah. I know this cold is lingering because I know you're still, it's like.
It's the longest, most pain in the ass cold of all time.
It is.
Pretty much everybody I know. Yeah. Just sniveling and coughing.
Right and now. I'm bare. I wouldn't even say I'm 100%. I'm like 95 right now. Like
but it's
I'm,
just sticking around.
Yeah. Just still like in the morning, you don't feel this when I feel a little congested
like
at night.
That family member at the end of a party. We're like, all right, we're going to put the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll be
just hanging out still. Go home.
Yeah. Dude.
So again, take it with a grain of salt because I haven't teased that out yet. And I really won't, before I give like my final, like, oh, this, I feel really strongly about this for these reasons. I want to have a couple weeks like that. You saw me today, which I don't think you ever see me doing any sort of training or exercises before we podcast. I was just doing a couple real small lifts or whatever. But I found that's the only way right now that I can get in any sort of lifting. I have such low energy that a traditional workout right now destroys me.
Oh, calories are too low.
And not just destroy me like I'm not talking about my muscle fatigue, like it zaps my energy to where I am just after that, then I want to nap. I don't want to do anything all day. I almost feel like I went back to getting sick. I was just like, oh my God. And so I have trained very little, very, very little in this whole process.
Wow.
And so the only thing that seems, and so the thing I wanted to talk to you guys about it, one, I wanted to ask you nutritionally, and again, I told you I'm really trying to take the trainer brain out of it, is like trying to hit my protein. But what I was thinking is like, man, part of why I might be feeling so bad too is I'm just my micronutrients I might be lacking. So what vitamins, you know, I'm not getting. I know I'm not getting enough red meat or protein in general. So probably I'm B vitamins. I don't know, maybe even iron.
Definitely
I already take
creatine.
Magnesium.
Definitely creatine. I would go multivitamin.
Yeah,
creatine and multivitamin, and then you already take vitamin D.
Yeah,
and then just continue that.
Okay, So that's, I don't take a multivitamin regularly. So I think I'm going to try and.
Yeah, because people don't understand that, right? When you cut your calories, you also cut. So that's the macronutrients go down, right? Proteins, fats, carbs go down, but so do your micronutrients. So oftentimes when you're in a calorie deficit, it's probably a good idea to supplement with vitamins.
So I'm already starting to formulate like this, which is crazy that I feel like we haven't got a lot of questions about this. It's blowing my mind that more people haven't reached out saying like, oh, how should I train? How should I eat? Because this is so...
Everybody's so just enamored by the weight loss aspect. And it's like, they're not... planning ahead, like how are we going to work our way out?
So here's what the GLP-1s do, and here's what they don't do. What they do is they make you eat less. What they don't do is give you a better diet necessarily. They just make you eat less. So you still have to be intentional with your diet. Otherwise, you'll suffer from some
consequences. I would argue that, Sal. And here's the other thing I was going to tell you guys about that I keep finding that's really interesting. And it's kind of a sad part. Food is so uninteresting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have a day where I haven't eaten all day long. And I might have even tried to get a little bit of exercise move. And like, I'm actually feeling a little hungry. Like, that's because I don't even know what I used to call starving. Oh, I got to eat feeling feels like anymore. That doesn't even exist. But there is times when I have long periods, low calorie, and I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. I need to eat.
Yeah.
And then I go to eat, and maybe the first bite or two is really enjoyable. The rest of the meal is lame, like fucking lame.
Would hyper palatable or more palatable foods help?
No.
Huh.
They're less desirable, which is weird.
That's weird.
So I got this option, like so far what I have found is nothing.
I wonder if that's true for everybody. That's really weird.
I haven't heard that from anybody. Because I've heard other people say like, oh, it hasn't helped my husband at all. He still eats this and does that. I'm like, that's weird because for me, I got no desire for shit food. None.
See, but now you didn't have an issue with appetite, right? Or you had some cravings issues, but your issue was more like you force fed yourself for years and years and years.
That's what I'm so like,
I wonder.
Curious about, like somebody who literally has had no barriers, restrictions, any kind of like healthy behaviors that they've been able to check themselves on, whereas like so somebody that like leans fully into like the indulgence and then goes on Cheers Appetite, if that has the same kind of effect of like those types of foods, or if it's somebody that goes back to like better behaviors.
So people I know who went on it just eat less. They just kind of eat less.
Okay.
And it does help with the hyper palatable stuff because that typically follows what they would consider a normal meal. So what you'll see a lot of people do is they'll eat their normal meal and they'll be like, oh, I want to have dessert. And then it takes that away. So they probably do cut out some of the bad food, more of the bad food as well.
I mean, I've tried to mess with the hyper palatable foods. Like I've intentionally like went and had ice cream. I've intentionally like, and it is like, it don't even taste good, dude. It's not hyper palatable.
I can't wait for you to go off of it. Just see what that feels like.
Well, I already know because I can, the only times I've been able to even try it is on day.
When it fades out.
Yeah, on the last day, Saturday or Sunday, because I had to take my shots on Monday, right? So Saturday or Sunday, it's like, okay, I could go for a little bit of ice cream. Let me go try it. I'd take a bite or two of it.
Weird.
It's not even enjoyable, dude. I could be so calorie deprived and then allow myself, I'm gonna go try some ice cream. No desire to crush it.
Do you think you're gonna stay on this? Or do you think at some point you're like, I feel like shit? Yeah.
Fuck no. Yeah. No way. Like, I mean, I'm only doing it and riding it out for the experiment of it. I mean,
So how long have you
I wanna try and go through the full three bottles, which is like how a full cycle. That? I think it's like a 3-month cycle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what they I look at the, which by the way, I was supposed to go up in the dosage, which I am not doing that. Like, I can't imagine getting a stronger dose.
So you're
dose.
Staying on the same dose you
yeah,
started.
Yeah, you're supposed to, by week five, you're supposed to double the dose. And I ain't doing that. Like, that's all, I'm already like that. I can't imagine what that would do to my appetite. It also, like, if I eat something that is not, like, super clean, it, like, almost upsets my stomach. It's fucking weird.
Weird.
Dude. Yeah. It's weird. And the part that I'm really not liking is the, it's, and you, one of you asked me, I think it was you, Justin, who asked me about, like, my motivation. I'm highly motivated to get work done, clean the house, do things like that, depending on my energy levels being okay. So as long as my energy levels are good, and you know what sucks is the only thing that's destroying my energy levels is my workouts. So I'm eating just enough calories to like have a good day, productive, do my work. But if I go attempt to get a little bit of a workout in, it zaps me so much.
So I mean,
I don't want to do
week
shit.
Week three, right, or week four?
No, I'm week five.
Oh, week five. Okay, yeah, yeah. So in the beginning, like the first 2 weeks or whatever, let's say the energy levels were still not quite as effective.
And I think that was just leaning out, losing body fat, and getting healthier.
Right
now, you're 5 weeks real low calories.
So now, like, further in, it seems
how many calories? I know you're not tracking, but how many calories would you estimate you're averaging if you were to average them all out?
Under 1,500.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
really?
Under 1,500. Really crazy
you
load.
You didn't even go down that low
ever.
Weeks before a contest.
The lowest I ever allowed myself to get for a show was 2,000. So it's significantly lower than I've ever been.
Wow.
And by the way, it's because I can't eat anymore. Like, even when I think, like I said, I'll let these long periods happen and not even intentionally, just I'm not hungry, so I don't eat. And then I realize like, oh shit, I haven't eaten all day. I need to eat something. And then like the other night, Katrina made tacos. Tacos are like one of my favorite things that she makes at home. It's like one of my favorite yeah. you know, like enjoyable. I crush 8 to 10 of her homemade tacos. Dude, it was a struggle to eat four. I've never ate only four of her tacos. And it was like a struggle. Like, the first two were enjoyable. It's like, I haven't eaten all day. These are hyper palatable and good. And then I'm just like, I could be done right now at two. Wow. But I'm like, I need to finish these four at least because I'm so low.
Wow.
And so that's what it's like for me. It's
I can see this being very helpful for people that have really, really hard issues.
Their cravings are just like, intense.
But so, otherwise, you're going to really need good coaching and be very intentional with your diet. Otherwise, you're going to go in a bad direction.
Right? I have three family members right now. All of them are significantly overweight, and all of them are like chomping at the bit for me to let them have it. And I'm telling them no. And I'm telling them no until I get through this process. And the reason why I'm no on them is because I've already helped them out before their diet. And the thing that they don't eat. They already
got the hammered metabolism.
They already have a hammered metabolism. So I can't imagine hammering it more. Like, that's going to be, they're going to eat nothing. And then even if they see and here's the other thing that's happening too. Mm. Is, you know, the initial, like, so I'm down to 215, right? So I weighed 231 when I started this. I'm 215 right now, but I'm holding at 215, and it's not like I'm just,
your metabolism is adjusting.
Yep. And so it's like, imagine if you're somebody who was already a low calorie eater, you drop down to 500 calories a day. Of course you're going to lose weight for the first.
Well, yeah. What about, like, a lot of people don't realize that sedentary obese people don't have a lot of muscle to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have all this muscle mass. They have low muscle and high body fat.
Yeah.
And so the body, anytime you just cut calories without strength training, without keeping protein intake high, you're going to lose muscle. Your body pairs it down.
I also think that I have a massive advantage that I'm on synthetic testosterone because I don't think I'd be holding on as much muscle as I'm holding
Your
on
testosterone
to.
Your testosterone would have tanked by now. At 1,500 calories a day.
Yes.
A man like you, no strength training because you don't have the energy.
Yeah.
Testosterone would have plummeted.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps me motivated is, luckily for all these years, you know, I've built enough muscle in my body that I'm just leaning out, you know? Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is great. I'm not working out or anything like that. And like, my body is looking better and better and better. My waist is just coming in, body fat's dropping off, hanging. I'm actually keeping muscle better than I ever. But again, I'm on testosterone and I'm taking peptides to help me with growth hormone. And I'm doing all these things that will promote sustaining muscle. Had I not been taking that, like, I'd probably be a lot lighter, but just losing muscle a lot faster too.
So. I'm glad you're doing this. This will help us communicate it. Honestly,
it's,
you know,
especially, I mean? It's shifting already. You can see the longer you're on it, like all these new challenges and because before it was like your drive and everything was good, but like to the point of not having the energy now, that's going to be impeding on that.
It's really motivated me to try and put together a food supplement and workout protocol for people that decide to do this because
really nothing like that out there.
What works really good right now is this, like, I have this, like, for the day I'll say, like, you know, I'd like to get, you know, some, you know, bench press in, I'd like to get some rows in, I'd like to get some curls, shoulder, like I'll have like a exercise, and then I'll be like, I'll literally just go do 2 or 3 sets and then that's it.
You're done.
And then go about my day and then come back. If I try and put them together and put a half hour, hour workout together, I'm fucking done. Yeah. And not only am I weak through the workout, but even just going through a weak workout like that, I'm just, the rest of the day, I'm like spent and I almost feel sick.
You know what's challenging about that too? So I experienced this yesterday. So, you know, we get a majority of my ButcherBox order is tri-tip. And the tri-tip that's grass-fed is leaner than the traditional tri-tip you get at the grocery store. All grass-fed meat is typically leaner. And so I ate a bunch of this. And, you know, when you eat protein, and we communicate this. This is backed by studies and data quite clearly. Protein is very satiating of all the macronutrients. Like if you eat a lot of protein, this is why we tell people hit your protein targets, your calories will drop. Like I experienced that again yesterday. It's like I'm eating this certain amount of protein and I know I have rice here that I'm gonna eat afterwards. But once I hit my 50 grams of protein, I'm like, oh man, my appetite. Yeah. So someone like, you know, you're on this GLP-1 agonist, already kills your appetite. You're like, I got to hit protein so I don't lose muscle. Protein satiating on top of it.
Two factors.
That might be impossible.
Bro, it feels impossible. So like so much.
Because you'd have to eat over 200 grams of protein.
Another hack that I've like found for me, I tend to like, so my favorite dish so far has been like chicken and rice. And it's because the chicken's lean enough that I can eat a good enough portion. If I have like a fatty steak or something like steak.
You're done.
It's hard.
It's heavy in there.
Yes. Yeah. because the high protein and the fat in
both
there,
satiating.
It's so satiating that it's so hard to finish like an 8 ounce steak, but I can actually get through 8 ounces of chicken. So chicken and rice seem to be like the, like, okay, I can get a full meal in of this, so that's okay. So that tends to be like what I gravitate towards. But then I know the benefits of red meat for me nutritionally, which is why I was bringing up the micronutrients. Yeah. Is like, hey, what should I be probably supplementing with, because I'm not getting my usual red meat
intake. Supplement with creatine for sure, because your creatine intake went down because you're eating less meat, period.
Yeah.
End of story. So, crazy. Anyway, I got some kind of frustrating statistics from our great state of California. So do you guys know this, right? I mean, you guys have lived here your whole lives.
Yeah.
Just from observation, right? The homelessness in California, it just exploded over the last definitely 10 years, but especially the last 5 years. Okay.
There's a great video of Gavin Newsom trying to like make that his like priority right. number one. And then you see over the years how he just keeps saying
how effective he was.
Yeah. It's gotten a million times worse.
Well,
Go ahead.
It's so bad. I don't remember this growing up, but now it's so bad. You see homeless encampments all over the place. It's wild. In LA alone, do you guys know that in LA, you know how big their population of homeless people are in LA? Just homeless people. 71,000 people.
Wow.
There are 70 in just LA.
It's its own city.
Its own city. One fifth of all the homeless people in America live in California, because California's got the worst issue. It's over 55 homeless people per 10,000 people is a stat. But anyway, so you hear that and you're like, wow, what are they doing? What's going on? What happened? I read this article. You ready for this? So California spent over the last 5 years, $24 billion $24 billion on trying to solve this problem. They did an audit on
this.
Where
did it go?
Do you know what they found on the audit?
It's missing.
They did not track the outcomes. They did not track if it worked or didn't work. They just spent.
Pretty sure California has the same CPA as the Pentagon.
Well, so.
Real good. You see that came up again too, right? Uh-huh. Oh, and the Pentagon for the 6 year in a row missing trillions of dollars. Yeah, we have no idea.
We're just like, I don't know.
Yeah. I was explaining this to.
Keep giving us money.
To some cousins of mine, because they sent that to me and they're like, $24 billion. They don't know where it went. Like, how is this even possible?
What's we could have built them a Ritz for all of them to stay at, dude.
I forgot what it was per homeless people per person, but it was ridiculous how much they spent. So the issue is this. I explained this to my cousin so that he would understand, but this is good for the audience to know. If you have a government program, let's say you work and you run a government program and you get all this funding. So you're paid $250,000 a year to run this program for homeless people. And you get this funding, right? $24 billion for 5 years. And then let's say you solve it. We fixed homelessness, you lost your job.
Yeah.
That department is gone.
Right.
They'll be like, oh, you fixed it. There's no longer a need for you.
It's not in their best interest to solve it.
No, the incentive is the opposite. Yeah. The incentive is to continue to have a perpetual problem. Wow, what does that say?
Yeah, so it spent an average of $12,000 to $22,000 per household, while a single chronically homeless person can cost taxpayers as much as $50,000 a year.
God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just throw money at something with no accountability and no feedback of like what's working, what's not working. Like there's no audit. Like what's so of course like people are going to take advantage. That's just ripe for like corruption.
They paint the problem as something that it's not. They paint the problem as it's too expensive to live here and we need more houses. That's not the problem.
No.
The problem is mental illness. And drug abuse.
Well, if that was the case, they would let like independent private people like who've tried to like solve this by building these like molecule homes and like they won't let that because it goes against the funding issues.
No, the issue is you got like the vast majority of these people are drug addicted and mentally ill. So you could build and put them in all the homes you want and that's not going to solve the problem. In fact, they often trash these places and turn them into these.
Well, there's that too, but really there's a whole crime syndicate involved with
right.
this that nobody wants to talk about.
No.
Which, you know, it's because of the lax law and order.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better. You guys see the last week too, they came out with all the inflation numbers. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, you didn't see?
I thought it went down.
No.
What?
Bro, everything's up.
Oh, my God.
Yes, inflation is back on the rise again. And this is so this is after the Fed came out earlier this year and said that they were planning for 3 rate cuts. So now they're again pivoting. So we're definitely not going to see a rate cut. We're either going to see a hold or actually rates go back up again.
Wow.
And it's because inflation didn't it's tamped down and then now it's ramping back up right now. So, I mean, which is crazy, which, by the way, I know you didn't bring it up yet, but I know you sent over the thing with the, you know, our God, this is the closest we've been to World War III
in
a long time. Well, so my tinfoil hat goes, well, you know why that is? Because this did not go the way they had, this administration did not go the way it was planned for inflation. The plan was to have 3 rate cuts to make, and Biden would look like a champion going into going back into reelection because, oh, look, the economy's rebounding, inflation's down, and rates are being cut.
Those buttons to,
and it was like, oh, shit.
Economy.
That's definitely not happening now. With inflation up right now, 100% there's going to be a rate hold or a rate increase, which is not going to bode well for the incumbent to stay in, right? So, of course, what's the next big driver for the economy is war.
Scary, yeah. Dude.
So part of me is like, that's why.
Well, it's not an economy driver. That's a misnomer.
Well, it's a
distraction, and it gets people, tends to get people united.
Right.
You know, because a foreign enemy or whatever. I don't know. It's weird. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. Election years always suck. Every election year sucks. It's always alarm. Yeah, it's like bad news.
Dude, because I actually heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but like Dollar Store and Dollar General had to like they're going out of business because they can't provide anything for a dollar.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
If they just changed their name.
I know, right? Like
the $10 store.
$10 store. yeah. Like rebranded.
They've been that for a long time, though. Remember when that, I mean, there used to be the 99 cent store back in the days. And it's like, you go in there and you're like, there's not anything for fucking 99 cents in here.
Nothing. Like, what can you even, like, buy like a cheap piece of plastic is
interesting.
Cost, like,
I did not
bucks.
Know that the dollar store was going under like
I
that.
I thought they were crushing.
They were crushing.
Look
they're going
up,
in and putting a lot of people
look
on
it up because this is what was handed down to me as information.
I want to see what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, did I tell you guys while Doug looks that up, my kid yesterday I'm pretty aware we don't talk like this in the house, but we must because he must pick it up this way. But I was wrestling with my 3-year-old. And, you know, we're wrestling, I'm holding him down. And he's like trying to get up. I'm like, you can't move. I got you. You know, we're doing that kind of thing. And then he gets up and he walks away. And under his breath, he's not even saying it to me. He says it under his breath. He goes, oh, I got to do more push-ups. And then he goes in the corner. He starts doing push-ups.
Yes.
Oh, that's wild.
I'm like, on his own, shit. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. Dude.
Oh,
we got
God.
A little maniac.
That's hilarious,
I know,
dude.
Right?
It's so funny when they say things and you're just like, when did I say that?
I mean, you know, we don't talk a lot about this kind of stuff in the house. He sees his mom work out in the garage. I don't even work out in the garage anymore, so I don't know.
I think it's Max did this thing yesterday where Katrina was like, he wanted these, we have these like granola ball kind of snacks that he can have. And it's like a healthy treat snack, right? That we allow him to have that it's more like a treat than it is healthy. And, you know, he gets to have those every once in a while. And he was hungry. And Katrina's like, oh, let's have lunch then. He's like, no, I don't, I want that. Can I have my granola balls with that? And she's like, okay, but no more treats until you eat lunch. And he goes, okay, mommy, but you just remind me, let me know at lunchtime.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'll let you know.
I'll remind you.
Yeah, I'll remind you. Telling me to remind you. Where you get that, kid?
Yeah. So, God. What a great, hold on. The article, the headline
CNN
is hilarious.
Business.
It is hilarious.
It's hilarious. The title of the article, you could tell that media is just propaganda arms, right? Look at the title. Dollar stores are shutting down across America. Then the second part, they did this to themselves. Okay.
So what's
why?
We did this to ourselves.
They were too greedy. Yeah. Is that what they're going to say? What does the article say, Doug, underneath?
So anyway, Family Dollar and Dollar Tree are closing 1,000 stores.
Wow.
And they cite inflation and shoplifting, which are
think about
real
that misdemeanors. $9.50 dollar store. You clean up. You get back a truck up.
But according to this article, it's years of strategic mistakes and underinvestment. So you know,
interesting.
It might be a combination thereof.
I'm sure. I mean, but they want to place the blame.
1,000 stores. That's a lot.
That is a ton. How many locations do they have? 8,000.
Well, Family Dollar has about 8,000 locations.
Oh wow!
So that's quite a few.
I wonder where they're getting shut down the most. Like what parts of the country?
Yeah, what would you think is most likely in big cities or because they're in rural areas too? They're in like random rural. Like when I go to my mom's in Sonora,
did you guys know in San Francisco? I think it was that they're passing a law that if a business is going to shut down, they have to give the city so many months advance notice. Otherwise, they'll get a fine.
Fine me. I'm shutting my business down because I can't do it anymore. Yeah, and right. I'm going to get fined if I don't give you a heads up.
Can you look that up, Doug?
That's a real thing?
Yeah, dude. Because, you know, a lot of businesses are leaving the San Francisco area.
Sue my LLC.
Like it's a trend or something. You know, we've got to figure out how to.
If you leave.
I love that.
If you leave because you can't afford to be
that was
here,
like
we'll fine you.
Did that pass when people left California that they could still tax them for a year after
That's
that?
That's a good question, Justin.
No, that didn't pass.
Okay. No. I was wondering about that because I was like, yeah, that's convenient.
Bro, how about that? You didn't watch it, that conspiracy theory video, or did you watch it?
I did. The one
about all the symbolism and shit.
Hollywood. I sent it over to Katrina too. Like,
bro, when you watch it, isn't it kind of like, oh, damn.
It's always hard to not see now. I know. It's what I have a hard time with too, with things like that is like, okay, how much is this like, you know, the evil running the world and stuff like that? And how much is this like people that are intentionally doing counterculture type stuff? Like, because I remember being a kid, like thinking of company ideas and you putting hidden messages in the title of the name.
Yeah, but these are big celebrities. Like for example, did you ever see that clip of Paul McCartney? He was on a talk show and the camera's on him and he just randomly goes boom and he does a little triangle symbol to the camera and then puts his hands down. You ever seen that? Mm-mm. Okay, we could pull it up. There's a lot of stuff like that, like the triangle symbol covering one eye, doing this. Like all that stuff.
Because this is like 666.
Yeah, it's like symbolizing or signaling to your whoever your handlers are that you're on board.
It's so funny now we're talking about this is stuff like years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, I geeked out on, you know, everybody thought it was crazy. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, weird. We should have looked at this.
Or all the emblems, all the company emblems that are like, that they can match up to like, oh, that's
crazy.
A satanic symbol. That's another one. That's
the Google Chrome where it's like,
all
it's
of
circle,
them.
I mean, and then there's
a bunch of sixes.
It's if you look at it, it's 3 sixes in there.
Yeah. There was a Nickelodeon sign. We talked about that, right?
The Nickelodeon one. Island. You should share that on the show because that was, you guys brought that up when we were driving somewhere recently and I had no idea what Nickelodeon, what is Nickelodeon in, what is it in Hebrew or what is it?
Latin
is
it?
Maybe?
It meant, no, not Latin. It meant something, but it's not quite literal, the definition.
It's so crazy with in what's coming out with, you know, what they're dealing with right now of all of that, the shenanigans.
I mean, he's like without God or godless or something like that. Yeah. What is it?
But then Snopes comes out and says no. But then you read these other articles and they're like, actually, yes.
Oh, what does Snopes say about it? Snopes says it's bullshit. It's not that.
They did, but.
Bro, these are all media companies.
They say everything's bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah. These are media companies that create their own fact checking.
Or like department. Balenciaga. I guess that means if you break it up, it means like.
Well, I already watched all that.
Baphomet is good or God or something like that.
Yeah, well, that one. I mean, you remember they got caught up with all kinds of child pornography and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Weird shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the symbolism, like the pedophile sign or whatever, and you see that all over the place. Mm-hmm. Dude, what the hell?
I mean, I definitely think there's some serious nefarious stuff going on and bad people that built big companies and are wealthy. 100% believe that. Then I think there's like a portion of people that it's just like tongue in cheek because they don't believe in God. So who cares?
They don't care about any of that stuff.
Exactly. They think it's funny. They think it's a, you know, like, oh, let's put all kinds of devil signs in there because I don't care.
You know, it's funny because a lot of it is like you just credit everything, but then when you watch it after seeing a video like that, and then you go back and watch it and you go, wait a minute, like Katy Perry, there was a part on her on how she was like she used to sing for her church, and then there was an interview of her and she said, oh, you know, in order to make it big I had to sell my soul, and then you hear it now and you're like, wait a minute, like what is going on?
Well, here? I just find it interesting, like over like history, how we're so enamored by, you know, the Egyptians and their hieroglyphics, and then the Aztecs, and like all of this symbolism and stuff they've used in different cultures, and then you keep seeing, you know, all the symbols being used in different cultures as you know, modern advances happen. But it's like that never went away. We just put less emphasis on it, but people still use them intentionally, and it's like, oh, let's just, that just whatever, it doesn't mean anything. Does it not mean anything, or does it just mean that you're not putting like that kind of filter out there anymore? In terms of like, dude, I think that symbols have been used intentionally forever.
It's, I don't know. What did you find there, Doug?
So Nick, let me see if I can find this again here. Nickelodeon, P people are saying it means I don't care about God.
Yeah.
But then apparently it, if you use translate.com, it says God bless you.
Okay.
So it seems to be quite a bit of discrepancy there as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. That's a big jump.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I think
I Snopes you guys every time I talk to you guys now. Is that the deal?
No.
Snopes.
Yeah. I'm sure you go, you get up to those top ranks and they bring you in and they're like,
I do feel some people get very creative with making these connections.
What is the, there's a name for that. We were talking about that the other day where it's like, the world's so big. There's so many people. There's so many variables. There's so many like randomness that it's like, of course, like enough things are going to eventually line up. There's a name for that. I forget what that's called.
Yeah.
Like it's
What I look at is you look at this world of these celebrities at these high levels and the how many of them like become drug addicts or suicide or whatever. It's not a great world to be in.
No.
You know? No. And then you hear the stories of like Corey Feldman and what he talked about, you know, what's happening with Diddy. I mean, you know, what happened with Weinstein, the producer, yeah. You know, I think at certain levels, there's these gatekeepers.
Well, that's also
why you play the game or you're not going to get up to a certain level.
That's why it's so believable, I think.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of evil people.
Yeah.
Period. And there is probably a lot of evil people that use symbols and do shit like that. 100%.
You kind of have to play their game to advance.
But why the covering the eye and the triangle? Why all that? Why is that Illuminati? So common? Well, that's but it means something. Why are they all doing that? I've never seen it until
it's like a gang sign, right? Like you're.
But they're not. It's exactly it's who was it allegiance. That said that? Yeah. It was a guy I was watching. It might have been Cat Williams or someone who said like they're not in gangs. Why are they doing all these hand symbols and shit? You know what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's ritualistic.
I mean, I also think too because there's a lot of people that put out those conspiracy theories online too. That how many of those guys do that as a
Or they see them? Those pictures of them like in these photo shoots because it's easy to like. Put together,
copy it.
Yeah, and copy it, and it's just like, oh, I've seen Jay-Z do this, so I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And, so yeah,
and there's got to be a part of like, come on, you guys know your personalities. Like, if all of a sudden like a big internet rumor started about Mind Pump, and they're like, I'd lean into it.
You would lean into it.
And you're like, this is a sign. And so you would subtly be doing that.
That's gonna get screenshotted.
Now I'm.
So I do. You got to think that there's some of that going on too. Yeah. So I mean, where I've come with all this is that. I definitely don't discount all this bullshit. There's enough, and I don't even like calling it a conspiracy theory because it discredits it when you say that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so and we brought up like Mark Wahlberg and I guess like Mel Gibson. So I don't know if this is true or not. So
Starting a new network.
Yes. So if that's true, I also heard that Netflix was investing like $850 million. In that direction for them in their new studio that they're trying to counter. So I don't know if like
it was Sylvester Stallone, it was Mel Gibson, and who else? Mark Wahlberg, and they were going to create a studio or something to promote like better values, like entertainment.
Interesting.
Well, just to counter a lot of the initiatives.
You know what?
You've seen like all of the content.
You know what I think about that? I think that they see the market shifting. Because I do,
you can make a lot of money in that direction now if you put together a really good.
Well,
content.
The great driver,
Daily Wire is an example of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Daily Wire is making a ton of money.
There just needs to be more competition, really. You know?
Good.
Yeah, no, it is good. It is good. I think it is good to do. At one point, does it? God, it's gonna be so. There's so many competing services, and like it's interesting to see all this all kind of panning out.
Totally.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's interesting.
Wild times. Yeah.
We have a shout out.
John Deloney. We're shouting John Deloney out. If you guys aren't following his podcast and his show.
I mean, you want to grow as a person, it's incredible. The stuff he talks about and the people he talks to and the way he answers questions and works with people, it is captivating.
Yeah.
It's incredible. If you've used CBD products in the past and don't feel anything, it's because you haven't tried Ned. This is full spectrum hemp oil extracts. High in CBD, but has also other cannabinoids. They all work together. Look, this is the only one I've ever felt. Like I've tried CBD before. I don't feel it. I take Ned 45 minutes later. I can totally feel it. Try it for yourself. See what I'm talking about. Go check them out. Go to helloned.com. That's helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 15% off. All right, back to the show.
First question is from Tom Heiser. As a 48-year-old male, I'm having a hard time with increasing the overhead press. What would you recommend as a Z-press progression?
So going from Z-press to a new exercise is the question is what I'm asking. I think, a standing shoulder press, if you could do a Z-press seated, you could do a standing shoulder press, but I would go one arm light and I would pause at the top and really focus on maintaining core stability at the top. I'm not quite sure what the question is asking. I think if the question is like, what do I do next? Then I mean, you should be able to do a standing press.
I think they're trying to get stronger and increase weight, and they're having a hard time probably breaking through a plateau. Am I reading that? I think that's what I'm reading into this.
That's kind of what I was reading.
I have something for that, and it's actually funny that I didn't read. I didn't know you guys brought this question. This is kind of a cool. I remember when I did this with Justin, and I had never trained this way before, and he got me into the heavy standing push press. I never trained that. That was like not in my art. That was like not in my repertoire at all. Like that was like not a bodybuilder move. There was no reason for me to do just to use body English to get as much weight up over my head. Mm-hmm. But what I found was one, being able to use some leg drive to push a weight that I couldn't strict press over my head. And then after I would do that, I would stabilize that weight over my head and just lifting a weight I've never lifted, shoulder pressed, seated or strict pressed over my head got me comfortable with moving that weight. My Z press went up, my overhead press, everything else went up from that.
Enhances substantially whenever you move weight with acceleration and you get that fast twitch response. So yeah,
I was super bummed that I did not apply that earlier in my lifting.
Now the only issue with the push press is you need to have good skill.
I'm assuming this is somebody who's a little more advanced and is trying to, because if you've already done Z press and you've already done overhead press, you're 48 years old and you're hitting a plateau, I'm assuming this is...
If that's the case, then yeah.
Well, because, I mean, if you're looking at it from a stability perspective, like adding elements of rotation in there is going to help kind of fill some gaps. Like, because a lot of times the issue is there's either a lateral instability or there's a transverse instability, a rotational instability. And so if you are addressing that with load, you could increase the amount you could carry overhead with control. So to be able to kind of add in more Arnold press, for instance, or, what I like to do is like one arm and just focused out with a kettlebell. So I have it loaded on the backside of my arm and I can go through that natural spiraling press with that. And then two, like just a hold with, you could do this with a bottoms up kettlebell where I'm just holding it for stability because lateral forces are going to pull it one side or the other. And to be able to really control that and get strength with that lateral stability, that's going to help a lot.
Yeah. The two things that really bump my overhead press the most, besides the traditional, like, practice the exercise, that kind of stuff, were overhead carries. So I would hold a weight over my head, pack my shoulder, drop my shoulder, maintain good stability in my core, and then hold it or walk with it. I like walking with it because the movement makes me have to stabilize the weight. And so I would go one arm in one direction, the other arm in the other direction, or holding a dumbbell or especially a kettlebell in the rack position where I'm actually supporting. I'm not just resting. I'm supporting it in this position and then walking. That bottom hold and that top hold, huge increases in my overhead press from that isometric hold. And it doesn't hammer the body that much. So you can actually add it to your workout and you probably won't overtrain unless you're already tipping over into overtraining. It's not going to add too much damage to the body. So like a couple sets of that. In fact, I like to do them before I would do my shoulder press.
Uh-huh.
And it made a big difference.
It's a good primer to do that.
Totally.
Next question is from What Mallory Eats. Is 30 grams of protein powder the same as 30 grams of animal source protein? What are the differences in terms of how much we absorb?
If they come from the same source, theoretically, it should be the same. Now, there's a big difference, though. The question is, are they the same? No, obviously. No. Like when you eat meat, you're chewing on it. Your body's processing it differently. There are other nutrients involved. So it's not exactly the same. But if the question is, will I be utilizing all 30 grams of protein from a powder? Well, yeah, if there's 30 grams of protein in there, so long as you can digest it okay and there's no digestive issues there, then you'll absorb it just fine. But, eating food and taking a powder is not the same thing. Even if it's the same amount of protein, there's a, eating component, chewing component, digestive component, and it's just different. And whole foods is where you should always go first. That's always the place that you want to prioritize. And in my experience, consistently, people, if they can do it through whole natural foods, they just get better results across the board.
I also want to highlight how arrogant we are in science too. Like, that's what we know. There's still, there's so much unknown about the gut still. It's like trying to like speculate about the fucking universe sometimes. Yeah. And yes, we've come a long ways. We have a very good understanding of macro and micronutrients, but we're assuming we know all the values of eating whole foods, what not just from a measuring micro and macronutrients, but what's going on inside the whole digestive process and inside your gut and how your gut is responding to those whole foods versus this processed powder. And there's enough unknowns there that I hate when we, the science guy will be like, yes, you utilize the same amount of grams of protein, therefore it's the same thing. It's like, nah, that's what we know so far. I mean, and if it was like, my client was asking me that because they are just focusing on hitting their protein intake and they're like, Adam, you know, is this 30 grams of protein not useful to me because you say that eating whole foods is, well, no, it's very useful to you and it's better than you skipping the meal whatsoever, but I'm always going to push my client towards whole foods for the little bit that we for sure know, and then even for the unknown that we don't know. It seems that we were supposed to eat whole foods.
Well, we know this for, like, here's something that's related, okay? If you always blend your kids' food, okay, you always give them baby food all the time, and let's say you keep doing this all the way up until, you know, they start to grow up, their face and jaw and teeth will develop differently.
Yep.
Because they're not masticating on something, they're not chewing on something. So your jaw actually gets smaller, teeth get crowded, you can get crooked teeth, and it changes your facial structure from not chewing on something. So just that alone. So in other words, I could take a steak and I could blend a steak. I'm not even making a protein powder. I'm just going to blend a steak and drink it. Is that different? It is. Yeah. It also changes the digestive process. Now I've broken it down so much that the surface area to volume has changed so much that the digestive process changes as well. So all these things have an impact.
Well, there's these chemical signals and everything as you're chewing something as too. So if you bypass that process, it's like, yeah, you don't know how, you know, optimal it's going to be at that point, just like swallowing it down and trying to absorb it in your gut versus like breaking it down first.
Yeah. And I hate, again, as like we try and do, is like we extract it like we are in a lab all the time and like, well, you know, we've fortified everything in this protein powder that you would get in that steak, therefore it should be an equal match. It's like, no, there's other parts of this that your body.
At the very least, Adam, to your point, at the very, very least, we completely discredit the experience of eating food versus drinking something, a shake, and we discredit that as if it means nothing, as if food is only what's inside the food, and the eating of it, and the chewing of it, and the digesting of it, and the whole process of it. There's no other potential impacts or values or whatever. It's like, oh, if we could just give you the same exact nutrients, it'll be the exact same experience.
I mean, it's the same. It's exercise. Yeah. You're bypassing that process, your jaw and your muscles, to your earlier point. Yeah. Like, if you're not expressing that, when else are you going to do that throughout the day?
Yeah.
Next question is from D Prior 30. How does the body actually lose or burn fat? Do you sweat it out, breathe it out, or is it something else?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Sweat and pee,
No, you breathe out a lot of the fat.
Does a lot of it get breathed out?
Isn't that why they have those, they capture the body gym?
Yeah. You actually breathe out a lot of them. Some of it will come out in your urine, but you utilize it. You utilize it as energy, and some of it gets comes out through your breath. Some of it comes out through urine and poop. But most of it, a lot of it gets used
as fuel,
as energy, as fuel. So it's not like it just disappears. You know, when you start to, like, physics explains how energy doesn't just disappear and it doesn't just get created. By the way, this is one of the challenges with like the Big Bang. Like, oh, cool, we just got everything out of nothing. Well, that doesn't make sense either. We got to figure that out. So energy transfers. So if you have fat stored on your body and then you lose fat, it doesn't like disappear. It turns into something else. Converts, and in this case, your body uses it for energy. So it actually takes it and converts it into a usable form of energy. And then you use that energy as you move. And then as you burn that energy, it gets excreted through feces, pee, and breath. I don't know what the percentage is of, you know, where it comes out, but I know breath is a great way to calculate.
I should have known that because we used to have those machines to test your metabolism through your breathing. So that makes total sense.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how accurate is that too? I always wondered how accurate those things are.
You know, as accurate as they get them, they're accurate while you're using them. But because things adjust on the fly with your body. Your
metabolism changes.
Yeah, so I'd love to see what that says right there, Doug, that you're pulling up there.
Yeah, 84% of the fat that is lost turns into carbon dioxide, leaves the body through the
84%?
Lungs.
84%?
Through the lungs. What? And the remaining 16% becomes water.
Oh, wow.
That's after it's converted, right, and used as energy.
Sure. So the 16% basically is divided between the pee and sweat, right? I believe so. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, really, really interesting. Now, that doesn't mean... So people watching this will be like, oh, cool, I'm going to go sweat.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go pee a lot or whatever. Or I'm going to go drink more water to flush the fat out.
You have to explain also, Sal, that like that's not the primary source the body wants to use for energy. If you have glycogen, if your body has got if you've got a bunch of carbohydrates that you just consumed, that's the primary source it wants to use. That's
going there first.
Which is why of course, like you go and like our good friend Lane is always, you know, hammering this to people of like why all these diets, all these things, why they work is because they're low calorie. You know, once you get to a place where you're so low calorie and you don't have that stored glucose, you don't have that glucose for the body to tap into and then use as fuel, the next place it will go
is body fat. Yeah, your body doesn't go into body fat unless it has to.
Yes.
If it's got energy coming in, you're not going to go into your savings account if you have money in your wallet. If you got money in your wallet and you're buying something, that's what you're going to use. When you run out of money, I got to go to the savings account. Same thing with the body.
It's crazy how many people don't understand this, that do exercise, like cardio, for example, as their primary source to burn. And they go you know, maybe they clean up the diet a little bit, but they still overconsume calories. And then they run and they can't figure out why the hell they're not seeing any results. Yeah. It's like, well, you're still eating enough calories to sustain this exercise. Because a lot of times the exercise will kick the appetite up. Right. So you get somebody who like has kind of a slower metabolism.
Or the other part is that, you know, your body, again, it's like imagine a person managing their budget. If you start spending so much money that your savings account starts to get depleted, well, then what you do is you figure out how to spend less money, right? Your body then starts to figure out how to burn less calories. This is why strength training is so important, because strength training sends a opposite and opposing signal that says, don't slow down metabolism. We need muscle. In fact, we need to build muscle. And of course, you have to fuel it with the adequate calories and adequate protein to make that happen. Otherwise, what ends up happening is like what Adam's talking about with the tirzepatide, right? You just end up losing weight and then your body's like, oh, adjust the metabolism. Let's pair muscle down so that we can slow the metabolism down so we can start to meet this caloric intake. So now your body learns how to burn 1,500 calories a day.
Yep.
Next question is from Dirty Dan. I made tremendous strength gains through anabolic. I put on 50 pounds on my squat, 130 pounds on my deadlift.
Wow.
I've done this without straps or a belt. At what point should someone start using wrist straps or a weight belt?
Never. Nope. Yeah, there's no need.
You don't need it.
Unless, I mean, you can if you want. I mean, a weight belt would add weight to your bar, but then you're using the weight. The belt will make you stronger.
Yeah, but you know what? Someone like this, like... If you've trained without it and you continue to do this, I would never want you to.
No.
I would never. Like, it's a more difficult question to answer to somebody who has already used it and utilized it for so long. Yeah. And it's like, man, I'm so much weaker if I don't use it. Yeah. And then I feel like my back isn't getting the same workout and my legs aren't. So then it's like, okay, maybe try and just do it for your top sets. And then let's only do it when
it's
you do.
It's a gradual sort of weaning off.
Yeah. But man, if I got a client who has seen increase in their squat and their deadlift and they're not using any tools or band-aids.
That's ideal.
I'm like, let's keep going.
Yeah.
The benefit of strapping up and getting an extra 20 pounds or 50 pounds to one of those movements, it does not outweigh the benefits of you staying real world strong, of being able to grip and grab and hold on to and support that weight on your back without any tools.
And what's interesting is that the thought process is with weight belts is it protects my back so that I don't hurt myself.
Right.
That's actually not true. It allows you to lift more weight. So if you try to lift that weight without the belt, you'll hurt yourself. But the reality is if you've never used a weight belt and then you start using a weight belt, you actually increase your risk of injury without the weight belt because of the change in recruitment patterns where you start to become more reliant on it. So you're better off not using it. Now, if you're a power lifter.
You're replacing, you're stabilizing your entire system, like built for stabilizing you.
So that's right.
Now you're adding more load that your body wouldn't naturally do on its own,
right.
Which then exposes any other little imbalance and discrepancy you have in any other part of your body.
Yeah. Now, unless you're a power lifter and you're going to compete with a belt, in which case then you would need to use a belt because you have to actually practice using one. Or if you're a strongman competitor where they allow them to use wrist straps, then use it so that you know how to use them. Otherwise, I mean, and the same thing with wrist straps, Justin. Like you start using wrist straps and now you're lifting more weight than your hands can normally handle, which means you're stressing all the other parts of your body more.
Yes.
And you're more likely to potentially lift a weight.
You're going
to
overreach.
Right, because what a great limiter. Think of that, right? Yeah. You're going to go deadlift really heavy.
It's a natural limiter.
And your hands can't lift the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, but my back can lift more. So let me put this. Maybe your back can't.
Yeah.
Maybe adding more weights that your hands can't handle just increase your risk of a back injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas normally what would happen is just drop the bar,
yeah.
Which is not that big of a deal.
And I mean, if you're in a competition, you sacrifice things to lift the ultimate amount of weight, you know, regardless of what kind of pressure is putting on your joints.
I used both for a long time because back in the 90s and early 2000s, like these bodybuilders all used them. So I was like, oh, I'll use them too. It took me about a year and a half to get off wrist straps, to get my grip strong enough to handle the weight that I can handle before. I never fully got off using a belt. I still use a belt with heavy deadlifts and heavy squats. It's a complete ego thing, 100%.
It's probably psychologically embedded, too.
It is all ego. I know this. So I communicate differently than the way I train because I'm a better trainer to other people than to myself. But when I deadlift heavy or squat heavy, I still wore a belt, and it's all 100% ego. If I were training myself and doing a good job, I would just back off. And not do those.
I mean, that's what I meant by it's so much. This is a harder question for me if I have someone like you. If you were my client, and I'm like, man, your whole life you've trained this way, and I've got to I'm going to tell you, hey, Sal, we're not going to squat over 300 now because of you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's tough to take someone and reverse them out. But if you were my client and you've never done it, you're like, hey, I'm like, hell no. Like, why? Like, why would you even do that? There's no reason for you to. I wish I knew that earlier, too. Like, the risk versus reward also. It's like the extra 25, 50 pounds that you're going to add to these lifts, like the amount of gains that you're going to get in for what you're going to lose out on as far as your core strength and protecting the low back and things like that. It's just like, and then also good grip strength. It's like those things are far more valuable. And so like I would never trade that off knowing what I know now had I understood that when I was younger lifting.
Totally. Look, earlier we talked about peptides. We have a peptide guide that breaks down the most popular peptides, explains how they work, what they do, who they're for, who they're not for. It's a free guide, totally free. We had our partners at mphormones.com create it for us. You can find this at mindpumpfree.com. It's a free peptide guide. You can also find us on social media. Justin is at mindpumpjustin on Instagram. I'm at mindpumpmedia on Instagram. And Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.